Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about Jesus and the angelic announcement that was given to Joseph that he was to name the babe Jesus, which means he would save his people from their sins. We talked last week about how John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Quite an amazing prophecy or insight on John the Baptist's part. But that's how Jesus was going to become a Savior, was to become the Lamb of God, become that sacrificial Lamb to pay sin, the sin debt that all of us owed. Well, then the next question to ask is this: did he finish his task? Did he complete his task? And we see, I think, three of the most powerful words in the Bible in John 19, just at the end of that 3 hours of agony on the cross. I love this passage, Richard. It is a powerful, powerful passage, isn't it?
Yeah. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Just like that.
Just like that. And that word finished is a word that the root word is telos, which means goal, to reach a stated end. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus, when he came into this world, he occupied a body, and that body had been prepared for him by God the Father. And that body, through that body, he was going to carry out the will of his Father, and that was to take away the sins of the world. And as he gets to the end of that time on earth, he's hanging on the cross. It's been 3 hours of sheer agony, of taking upon himself the sin and feeling the punishment and sensing that punishment of God for sin, taking upon himself wrath just to the max. At the end of that, he declares, "It is finished. I've reached the stated goal. The sin debt has been paid in full." It is one of the most amazing passages. Well, what in the world does that mean for us? It means total, complete forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
When we come to Christ, we're resting in that finished work of Jesus. We're resting in the fact that he reached the stated goal, that he carried out the will of the Father on our behalf. And when we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sins. Not just some forgiveness, not just forgiveness for past sins, but forgiveness for all sins, past, present, and future. Jesus' blood shed on the cross finished the sin issue once and for all. When are we going to believe that? When are we going to rest in that? When are we going to rejoice in what Christ has done to the point that we'll be able to say, "Lord Jesus, thank you"? So many of us try to reduce Christianity to a formula. When I sin, here's what I have to do to get forgiven for that sin. And that's all we think Christianity is. Oh, but it's so much more. Jesus settled the sin issue once and for all. He finished it. He cried out, "It is finished." And he did so that we could experience new life in him. Instead of being sin conscious all the time, we can actually be Jesus conscious. We can think about him. We can look to him. We can abide in him and experience all of who he is being lived out in all of who we are. That's Christianity.
That is, and that's Basic Gospel, everybody. You've tuned to Basic Gospel. We encourage your phone call right now to 1-800-677-9377. If you'd like to discuss this, or if there's something else pressing in life, perhaps a Bible question, give us a call. The lines are pretty much wide open right now. Plenty of time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, Bob, in light of what we just said about the finished work of Jesus Christ, we have this little booklet called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. We want you to have it. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. We certainly need your support at this time. Most ministries do as ministries go into December. That's where a big bulk of funding comes in that particular month. We're just like all the other ministries. We need your help. But we're asking you to invest in the power of the gospel to change lives. So many folks struggle with forgiveness. I mean, they really wonder. They're asking, you know, I think I'm forgiven, but I don't know. I hear people saying I'm not forgiven until I do this, this, and this. And so there's lots of confusion, and this little booklet will help clear up that confusion and really anchor you to the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is an important resource. We want you to have it. Once you have read through it, you'll want to share it with others, I guarantee you. So take advantage of this. Support Basic Gospel. We want to put this in your hands.
Forgiveness, the Door to Life. Use for a gift of any amount right now. You can call 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Donovan listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Donovan.
Hi, how are you doing, sir?
Been doing well. Nice to hear from you.
It's good to talk to you and to hear one more time over the radio. My question today and my scripture is from the Acts chapter 10. I heard you discuss the way of salvation with someone last week, that at the moment of they receive their salvation, they receive the Holy Spirit. And according to what I see in the scriptures, Peter spoke to Cornelius, friend of old soul, and the Bible said, they that were listening, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and then he said to the circumcised Jew that came with him, they have received the Holy Spirit just as we received it at the beginning. Can anyone prevent these from being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ?
Okay.
What is input? Again, with that scripture. Now, you last week you also mentioned Acts chapter 19 when the gentleman called in, and he was saying they were baptized by John the Baptist, a baptism of repentance. But now, when they heard Paul, they were baptized a second time in the name of Jesus Christ, and then Paul laid his hand upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and went on and speak boldly in the temple. So I kind of a little confused with what you're saying about the moment of you accept Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's just the way it is for us. I mean, Donovan, when we come to Christ, we receive God's Spirit. That's all a part of the transaction of salvation. We go from death to life. Our spirits are regenerated. And then Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to take up residence in us. And then God's Spirit baptizes or places us into the body of Christ. But here in Acts, again, this is things that we need to note about this. This is the first time the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, had gone to the Gentile world. So Peter was the messenger. Peter was sent to Cornelius' household. He didn't want to go. He was very uncomfortable when he got there. But because he had been constrained by the Spirit to move, to step out, he did. And so he went into that household. They all looked up at him expectantly. And so he began to speak. He began to speak about Jesus. And before they even said one word, the belief in their heart was evident to God, and he poured out his Spirit upon these Gentiles. Well, Peter was somewhat incredulous about that. You know, how could this be that they could receive the same gift that we received? But he saw it. And he goes on to say in Acts 11, verse 16, then I remembered what the Lord had said when the Holy Spirit came upon these Gentiles. He remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what he witnessed with these Gentile converts.
Okay, so the part that I didn't understand last week is that when you receive the Holy Spirit, does you speak in tongues when you when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit? Do you speak in tongues to know that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
No, you don't. That is not.
But according to the scripture right here, when they receive the Holy Spirit, they heard them spoke in tongues.
Well, that's a sign. Peter needed to see that so that he would know that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit. That wasn't for the Gentiles. That was for Peter. He was the one questioning. He held a belief in his heart that the Gentiles would not receive the same gift that the Jews did. He felt like God had something for the Gentiles, but not of the same measure or stature of what they had received as Jewish people. So he needed that sign to confirm in his heart that they had indeed received the Holy Spirit. I mean, Donovan, if you're saying you need to speak in tongues to know that you have the Spirit, I haven't spoken in tongues. I don't think anybody in this studio has spoken in tongues. But we know that we've received the Spirit because we've seen God's Spirit work love in our hearts. That's the sign that he's there.
Excuse me, sir. Do you do a research on the great revival that broke out in the Baptist Church in the 18th century in America?
Donovan, I've looked a little bit of that, and certainly there was all kinds of spiritual, supernatural things happening. But again, that doesn't dictate what doctrine is or what our theology is. I mean, we have to base that on what the Word of God has to say. But Donovan, I think every believer, I think the Scripture is clear, every believer receives God's Spirit. Does every believer speak in tongues? Paul says that, answers that very clearly in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Not everybody is going to receive the gift of tongues. There are other gifts that are given as well.
The gift of tongues is different from the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, but speaking in tongues is not necessarily evidence of that. It was in these, and that evidence was for Peter, and not necessarily for the Gentiles. It was for the unbelieving Jew. Well, Donovan, we certainly appreciate your time. Let's go on to New York and talk with Vin, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Well, we're just trying to have some good conversations about truth and grace and mercy and life in Jesus Christ, and glad you could be a part of it.
Amen, man. I listen to you guys all the time, and I have more of something I want to share rather than a question. But I'm 30 years old, and I grew up in the Christian church basically my whole life. And I've bounced from church to church because, to be honest with you, I'm truly not satisfied with the message that goes on today. And I listen to you guys, and you guys are like my part of like my growth in the Lord, because listening to your guys' messages and reading and studying the books that you guys sent out after I've called, for example, The Hurt and Healer, really explains what it means to live under the grace. And I'm just so discouraged, when the church is out here in Staten Island, New York, because they rarely speak about messages of like repentance or living under the grace and turning from your sins, that it's such a love gospel today with it. Some of the messages, you don't even hear the name Jesus Christ in them. So, I'm really discouraged, and, I was wondering if you guys recommend a way to, really find a good church with the right message.
Well, Vin, we know of some churches there in the New York area. We can certainly put you on hold and point you in several of those directions. But, Vin, you're right as far as the message that is so prevalent out there in Christianity today. It's more of a feel-good message. It's more of a have your best life now type of message. It's not a message of Jesus. The Bible is God's good news about Jesus. It's his testimony about his son. And everything that we're looking for in life is to be found in him and in him alone. But we're so afraid to try to lift up the name of Jesus. But we do have this promise. Whenever he is lifted up, he will draw men unto himself. And that is the most wonderful promise in Scripture, I think.
It seems like it's not just a problem out here, but a problem in the United States, because I listen to some of these people that call, and they're just so confused on what it means to live under the grace. And, I was encouraging someone the other day to go into a Christian bookstore, and the top five bestsellers are, Five Steps to Be Like Me, with these glossy pastors on the cover, and the images of man, not images of God.
Yeah.
And,
we've missed it, Vin, I think, one is the clear proclamation of the gospel, clearly right. stating about Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then the second right. point, I think, where we've missed it is this idea of faith. What does it mean to respond to that gospel message? Because that's what faith is our response to God's initiative toward us. And we really have messed that up. There's a lot of confusion about faith. But if we will take the time to clearly communicate the gospel message, clearly communicate what faith means as far as our response to God, a lot of this confusion will get cleared up, I guarantee it. We've seen that happen in people's lives. We continue to see it happen in people's lives. That's why we're on the radio doing what we're doing, to bring a clear message. And if everybody in the church would get back to the basics, so to speak, would take a fresh look at what Christ has done and let their focus of attention be right upon him, they're going to get the answers they're looking for, and they're going to see life in a whole new perspective.
I want to thank you guys for sending me that book a while back, The Hurt and the Healer, because that is truly an amazing book. And I've been in and out of churches for years, and I've never heard a message like that book, man, just got straight to my heart. And, I wish I can have, 100 copies of that and just keep handing them out to people, because they're so confused about, what it means that Christ, it's all about Christ and it's not about you. And,
there's
no standard. And there's no standard that you have to live up to. And you don't have to go out and try to find God's will,
buy a couple of copies and pass them out when you may, and leave the results of that in the Lord's hands. Well, Vin, let me put you on hold. We'll see if we can get some information from you and maybe direct you to some churches there in the New York area, okay?
Great. Thanks, buddy. God bless.
Hey, you too. Thanks for your call.
Well, The Hurt and the Healer and all of our books are available from the online store at store.basicgospel.net. We encourage you to go there and poke around a lot because we have some wonderful resources for you. Again, that's at store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk with Ray, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Bob. It's nice to hear from you again, because, it's not so often that I do listen because of my schedule at work. And right now, just want to ask a question, because you said that there was something to do with the finished work of Christ. The only thing that I was thinking about is it applicable to all the people that says, please forgive me, and then, they accept the salvation and recite the prayer of salvation, and then afterwards, you see them where they used to be. I mean, is there a slow transformation in themselves, or what? I mean,
well, that's Ray. You're asking a great question, and that actually ties back to what Vin was saying. Is we are so soft, on salvation. We say, you just pray this prayer and everything's going to be a-okay. Well, that's not what faith is. That's just getting somebody to pray a prayer, getting a notch in your belt and saying, wow, look at me, I've brought one more into the kingdom. And that's kind of how we look at things. But salvation is a person going from death to life. They go from being a sinner to someone who is now declared by God to be a child of God. So it's an incredible transaction that takes place. And it is all on God's shoulders. And we just enter into that by faith. There are so many people who've walked an aisle, who've prayed a prayer, and years later, they're scratching their head wondering if they're Christians at all. And most of the time, in our experience, I'm not talking about everybody else's experience, but in our experience, when we talk to those folks and rehash the gospel and ask them what they understood about the gospel, we find out that they have very little understanding at all. They just, you know, were encouraged to pray a prayer, so they prayed a prayer. They walked an aisle. They did something, and they checked that off and said, you know, now I'm going to go to heaven when I die. But when they really listen to what the gospel is, many of them say, well, that's not what I responded to, and today I want to receive the Lord and be made alive in him. And so we need to do a better job at really proclaiming the gospel message, proclaiming what happens to those who believe, so they know. And when they respond to faith, there's really a heartfelt response, just not lip service. I think that's where we fall down. So many people just merely give lip service to the gospel. But those who respond in faith, there's this genuine, heartfelt faith that's there. They can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they've been saved. I mean, I love what the writer of Hebrews says. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede. So the salvation of God that is executed in Christ, that is achieved in Christ, is a total and complete salvation. If you've been saved, Ray, you've been saved completely.
Yes, I am absolutely certain, because a lot of people have been asking me about this, and I said to them, you have to walk by faith and see how God works in your life.
Absolutely.
And the funny thing is, they said, I thought you don't have to work. You just have to be, you know, confess. And I said, it's easier said than done, as we always say it. But the pronouncement of your salvation is in the walk that you do.
Well, and that again goes back to Jesus, Ray. If Jesus comes to live inside of you, then he's going to work in and through you. He's going to live his life through you. So our job is always faith, if you want to call it a job. It's our response. We're always responding to Jesus. And when we do, we're going to see his life of love being lived out through us. Well, Ray, good stuff today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. You hang on.
And friends, we want to continue to remind you as we approach year end that Basic Gospel is indeed a listener-supported ministry reaching out with the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That, of course, is the gospel that saves. God loves you and wants you to know his love and the freedom that is yours available, and the life that is available in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how it can impact your life today. That's the reason we're here every day, bringing that good news. But it requires finances, friends, to keep the message coming. That's why we make offers like our resources at this little booklet, the Forgiven booklet. As Bob mentioned, we need to see donations of around $300,000 by the end of the year. $5, $10, $100, $1,000, or more. Every gift, no matter its size, helps to make a difference. So please join with us with a special Christmas time gift today. We need you to be a part of the ongoing support of Basic Gospel. As a reminder, this great little booklet on forgiveness that we've produced is yours for a gift of any amount. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. You can do that right now. That's 1-800-727-2828, and ask for the forgiveness booklet. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a link on the homepage, and again, that's at basicgospel.net for the booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount, right now, to Basic Gospel. So, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.